For the benefit of visitors whom we are very glad to welcome to our service this morning, I want to say that in our morning service we are studying the 23rd Psalm. And this morning we come to the fourth verse, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Through a dark valley. Last Sabbath morning, we were reminded that the Good Shepherd leads his flock always in right paths. Today we are reminded that those right paths may lead through a dark valley. And that is the first thing that I want to underline in our study of this verse. The somber valley. The valley of the shadow of death. Now, translators take that phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, in two ways, depending on whether they underline shadow or death. Most people think of the phrase as referring to the dark valley of death through which all must pass. And countless saints of God have claimed the comfort of the assurance of the Good Shepherd's presence in that dark valley. As Spurgeon has said, thousands upon thousands of saints of God have lain down upon that verse as on a pillow. In face of death, the Good Shepherd's presence makes all the difference. But it is possible also to think of the phrase as referring to the shadows, deep as death, which can come down upon the soul. The deep darkness and gloom through which many have to pass. And so those of you who have the New International Version will see that it gives an alternative translation as a footnote, through the darkest valley. And for that experience too, just as much as the experience of death, the Good Shepherd's presence is sure. In face of life's dark hours, as well as in face of death, the Good Shepherd's presence makes all the difference. And I'm convinced that we must think of that somber valley in both senses, as the valley of death through which all must pass, and as the valley of deep darkness through which many are called to pass, the dark valley of depression. And I want to look at that first, the somber valley of depression. For some, that is a harder valley to pass through than the valley of death. Now, I do not propose to deal with the causes of deep depression, except to say that I believe that often depression has physical causes, and that these can be dealt with by treatment. I believe, too, that there may be spiritual causes of depression. Someone has put it like this: depression may easily creep into our lives when we do not allow God to deal with the past. Equally, depression will come into our lives when we do not leave the future in God's hands. Now, that's just another way of saying that one answer to spiritual depression is acceptance of God's forgiveness for the past, and acceptance of God's control and God's guidance for the future. But maybe it's not easy for someone in the dark valley of depression to let God deal with the past and with the future. The problem is, you see, that God's forgiveness for the past and God's providing for the future are hidden by a dark cloud. That's the problem and that's the difficulty. The forgiveness and the control of God for the future are hidden under a dark cloud. And yet even then, this fourth verse of Psalm 23 can help us. And I want to underline two words in it at this stage. The first is walk. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of deep darkness, walk. In spite of everything, by God's grace we can walk. We can keep going on, one step at a time. The valley may seem endless, but we are only asked to walk through it, one step at a time. That's the first word. And the second word is through. The valley is not endless. There is an exit from it. One day the darkness will be left behind. And one day you'll be out into the sunshine again, through the valley, into the sunlight. I want to tell you something very wonderful that happened to me when I had finished preparing this sermon. Yesterday evening I lifted a magazine published by the University and Colleges Christian Fellowship, the magazine Christian Arena. It was an older magazine. There was an article in it about stress and depression, written by a professor of an English university who had been lecturing some years ago in Tanzania. He took suddenly ill there and had to be flown home. For 3 years afterwards, he suffered from chronic stress and depression, living, as he said, in a perpetual dark cloud, a dark shadow that could be felt. Then, he said, the word of the Lord met me. And it was this word, in Psalm 23, speaking of the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of the dark shadow that can be felt. It was not that the depression lifted there and then. He says the shadow was still there. But now I had a word of the Lord to hold on to. And I did, like grim death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow that could be felt, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. With me whether I feel it or not. With me whether I'm conscious of it or not. With me whether I believe it or not. No conditions. Just a straight statement of fact. And all valleys, all dark defiles have an end, sooner or later. Eventually the path opens out into the light, and the panorama of God's purpose spreads itself out to our vision, into the distance beyond the farthest reaches of our imagination. And some months later, and it was later, the cloud lifted. Deep spiritual renewal followed. And continued to grow. That was that man's testimony to what this word had done for him. Wasn't it wonderful that I should find such confirmation of this word of the Lord immediately after finding in this verse God's answer to the deep and somber valley of depression? Now we look later at that answer in more detail, that answer to the dark valley. But I want to leave it now until we've looked at the second sense in which we can think of the valley of the shadow of death. Not simply the dark valley of depression, but the valley of death. And it is as we think of that last dark valley, death, that this verse has its most wonderful application. How many saints of God have rested in its confidence as the last shadows drew around them. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. Isn't it wonderful that it's the metrical version, the one we've learned from childhood days, that so often brings its assurance at the last? Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none hell. And as in the case of the dark valley of depression, the very words of their own comfort, again the word walk, then there's a journey to be made. There's a passing from one place to another, from this place with all its weakness to the glory with all its wonder. And the word through, there is a destination. There is a glorious destination to be reached at the further end of the valley of the shadow of death. For the believer, heaven is waiting. And the word shadow, Spurgeon commented that just as the shadow of a dog cannot bite, so the shadow of death can't really hurt God's people. The shadow of death. And more than that, for there to be a shadow, there must always be a light. And there is light over death. The light of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has been conquered. And for those who are in Christ, its shadow cannot hurt. But that light that makes death into a shadow is more than a victory that has happened. It is a presence that remains. And that's the real answer. And that's the thing that I want to underline, the second thing that I want to underline in our study of this verse. The sure presence. That's the answer to the somber valley. The sure presence. Thou art with me. Have you ever noticed in reading this familiar 23rd Psalm the change in personal pronouns that occurs when we come to verse 4? Look at the first three verses. Up until now it has been he. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He, right through those first three verses. But now it's thou. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, before you come to the dark valley, you may talk about the Good Shepherd. When you're in the dark valley, you talk to him. You say thou, not he. And maybe that's one reason why we are brought through the dark valleys of life. That we might draw closer to the Good Shepherd. And when we can talk to no one else, can talk to him. And we can talk to him. For he's there. Close beside us in the valley. Close enough for us to say, Thou art with me. Many have proved that true in the dark valley of depression, and many have proved it true in the dark valley of death. The Lord, the Good Shepherd, was there. And that means, above all, deliverance from fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The sure presence means deliverance from fear. And I want you to note how carefully it's put. It's not, I will not fear. It is, I will fear no evil. And that's different. Let us apply it to death. Many people are afraid of death. Or perhaps more accurately, afraid of dying. For dying, as we know, can be a sore and a difficult thing. But if we know that death can do no real evil to us, can do us no real harm, then its sting is drawn. I may be apprehensive about dying, but if I know that death cannot really hurt me, then the worst of its fearfulness is gone. And the same is true of everything that we may fear. If the Good Shepherd is with us, no matter how unpleasant it may be, we will fear no evil, no real harm from it. And it all depends on having the Good Shepherd with us. Thou art with me. The Apostle Paul proved it true in a dark hour for him, on trial for his life in Rome, with the executioner's tread expected any time outside his prison cell. He found that there was no one to stand with him. He wrote to Timothy, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but everyone deserted me." But then he went on, "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and gave me strength." Thou art with me. Paul proved it true. And he had already proved it true years before, in the midst of a terrible storm at sea. He could tell those on board with him in that storm, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.'" A sure presence in a somber valley. But how does his presence remove our fear? By dealing with the things that might cause our fear. And that brings me to the third thing that I want to underline in our study of this verse: the strengthening comfort. The somber valley, the sure presence, and the strengthening comfort. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And two different words are used there for the instrument or the instruments that a shepherd carries: a rod and a staff. But in his book, The Lord Our Shepherd, Professor Douglas Macmillan of the Free Church College in Edinburgh suggests that they were the same instrument used for different purposes. He says that he never saw a shepherd carrying two sticks. He says if he needed two sticks, it was time he was staying at home, meaning, I suppose, he wasn't able to walk too well. He never saw a shepherd, he said, carrying two sticks. The rod was a stick or club used to defend the sheep from their enemies. The staff was the same stick, but now used as a crook to guide and control the sheep. Now, whether one instrument or two, the result was the same: "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I wonder if you see how both are needed. The rod and the staff, both are needed to bring the shepherd's comfort and tender care, because that's what the word means, the comfort of a tender care to the sheep, so that they fear no evil. One of the things that might make us afraid, and does make us afraid, is the strength of the enemies confronting us. Isn't that true? For Christian people, the one thing we might be afraid of is the strength of temptation, the strength of evil, the strength of the enemies that are confronting us. But the Good Shepherd has his rod to fend them off, to drive them away. "Thy rod comforts me." The protection of his rod means that I fear no evil. As we were singing in Psalm 121, "The Lord shall keep thy soul. He shall preserve thee from all ill," from all evil. The rod in the shepherd's hand means that we don't need to fear our enemies. We don't need to fear the evil, because we are protected. But then another thing that might make us afraid, and does make us afraid so often, is our lack of confidence in ourselves. We're so prone to make mistakes. We're so ready to choose the wrong path. There are dangers that we stupidly run into, and we're afraid because of that. because of our own lack of confidence in ourselves, because we're so liable to make mistakes and go astray. Well, the Good Shepherd has his answer for that as well. His crook to draw us gently back, to control us, to bring us close to himself, and to lead us in his paths of righteousness. If we were left to ourselves with all our wandering and all our proneness to wander, we would have every reason to be afraid in the dark valley. But the shepherd's crook is there, and the shepherd's love is sure. Therefore, even in the dark valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod to protect, thy staff to govern and control, they comfort me. His protection and his control and his guidance are all I need to keep me safe. But as I've said so often in these studies, it all goes back to one thing. Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd, mine by conscious choice and acceptance, mine because I have trusted my life to him? Can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that this morning? Here and now, the Lord is my shepherd by personal choice and acceptance. If you can, then you can go on to say, in life's darkest valleys and in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.